Galatians and with the 10th verse. As we have therefore opportunity, let us do good unto all men, especially unto them who are of the household of faith. Good evening, my dear listening friends. Again, this is Evangelist Cecil Moe. And you know, I'm a converted alcoholic, gave my heart to Christ over 49 years ago in a pastor's home in Seattle. 1 year later, God called me to preach. Friends, I want to take this time to thank my dear wife, my daughters and my granddaughters and my grandsons and my sons for delivering those baskets last week. We had to do it a week early. But I want to thank all of you precious, precious people who gave, for those of you who prayed. And that was very important too. We had a wonderful, wonderful Christmas over that, and I thank you so much. Friends, this will be the last year that we're going to be able to do this because of my health. By the way, I want you to pray for me the 5th of January. I go into surgery for my eyes. I'm losing my eyesight in my left eye, and I found a doctor who said they can make it well. So pray that the doctor will do a good job, and then we'll get out of there soon and get back on the road and get telling the story of Jesus. Be with you for 28 minutes. Kick off your slippers, sit back and relax. Pour your glass of iced tea or a cup of coffee. Let's see what the Lord has for us, okay? If you have your Bibles with you, will you turn with me to the 17th chapter of Acts and with the 6th verse. And when they found them not, they drew Jason and certain brethren under the rulers of the city, crying, These that have turned the world upside down are come hither also. Well, that's what I'd like to talk about tonight for a few minutes, about the world being turned upside down. You know, we owe a terrible debt to the early church because they were the ones that went out and evangelized the world. And I'll tell you, friends, they did not have TV, they didn't have radio, and they had to do it by mouth. How did they get to where they were going? They either went by ship, or they walked, or they rode camels, or they rode burros. But they took their call very serious. So we do owe a debt to the early church. They took the Great Commission very seriously. And in Matthew 28, it says 18, And Jesus said, and Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go you therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Oh, they were faithful. So without them, we wouldn't have this message to pass on to you today. They had a challenge, and here's yours and mine. Christians are a minority compared to the world. Now, we hear a lot of that, especially this last couple of months. They've been trying to stomp out Jesus, and I'd get such a kick out of that when they do that. How foolish. You'll never stomp out Jesus. Those of you who are atheists, you'll never stomp him out. And the message will keep going on until Jesus comes back and raptures his church. That's why I urge Christians to take your rightful stand. And when people say, there is no virgin birth, you say, yes, there is. They say, Jesus didn't arise from the grave on the third day. Oh, yes, he did. In fact, the matter is, beloved, if that were not true, then we're just flapping our jaws because we wouldn't have nothing to say. There was a resurrection from the dead. And you and I are going to be caught up to be with Jesus forevermore when the rapture of that church comes. And don't think it's not coming. I know back in Paul's day they said, Oh, Paul, you're just flapping your jaws. You know he hasn't come back yet. Well, Paul thought he would be come back in his lifetime. And believe me, I looked for the return of Christ in my lifetime. And I'm 80 years old. He's coming back, beloved. All these wars that we're seeing on every part of the world, all this hate, And it's coming. He's coming back. But Christ commissioned us to reach the world. We were ordered to do it. See, people are being born faster than they are reborn. Well, What did those early Christians have that we need? Well, first of all, the Bible tells us that they were had cloven tongues of fire, evidence of the Holy Spirit working through them. The effect, souls won, churches planted. See, the world needs to see the church on fire again. Oh, beloved, I hate to put down our local churches, but beloved, it's a fact. They're dead. They're asleep. They don't care whether souls are saved. They don't. You know what? Most churches have taken out the old hymnals. Yeah, the old rugged cross. What a friend we have in Jesus. Power in the blood. Oh, all those powerful hymns that turned the world upside down. They don't want them now. They want those little ditties. They'll repeat it over and over. I love Jesus. I love Jesus. I love Jesus. That's the song. But we need to get the church on fire again. Only we can't do it. But God uses people like you and I to set the world on fire. He uses you. He uses me. It's not enough to be fundamental. We must be on fire. It's not enough to be doctrinally sound. Some may be sound asleep. Not enough to be preaching. We must be pleading. You know, a man told me, a wonderful, wonderful preacher, doctor of theology. He had me come preaching in his church one time. So during the invitation, I pled with people to come give their hearts to Jesus. Boy, after the service, he took me in his office and he dressed me down. We do not plead with people to come to Jesus. We tell them, and of course the Holy Spirit has to draw them. I understand that, and I can't save anybody. Neither can my church nor my denomination. But we need to plead with people. Oh, friends, if you really, truly, as Christians, believed in a burning hell, how can you rest when your mother's on the road to hell, or your daddy, or your brother, or your sister? How can you rest? The minute I got saved, I started working on my two older brothers. Immediately, oh, they got mad at me. I prayed for one brother for 23 years before he accepted Christ. Prayed for my older brother for 26 years before he accepted Christ. And I personally led him to Christ. No, it's not enough to be Bible-believing. We must be burning. David Dawson once said, so afraid of wildfire, we have settled for no fire at all. We just don't seem to get the picture. But, you know, if we keep preaching and we keep going and we keep telling and setting an example, yes, we have to set an example. And if I'm not an example, if I'm not at winning souls to Christ, how can I encourage you to do it? When we go to prison, we give invitations. We do not try to proselyte them. We don't tell them to leave their church. We tell them to bring their sins to Jesus. That's what we tell them to do. Well, if we're not doing it, we're not doing the right thing. You see, they found true fellowship in Christ in the book of Acts, second chapter, in fellowship and in breaking of bread and in all prayers. Once divided, now they're bound together in love. You know, some countries and some religions, well, I guess it's a Jewish religion. I could be corrected on this. But if a person, a Jewish man or woman is converted to Christ, they hold their funeral. They no longer, they're part of their family. Well, that happened over there in the early church. Well, they threw them out of their homes. And you know, the born-again believers, they went out and sold what they had to share with their other brothers in Christ. See, they based their fellowship on truth. The basis of their fellowship was the apostles' doctrine. They celebrated the gospel in daily life. Do we have that kind of fellowship? What are we going to do to achieve it? You know what? I know some churches, they have the nicest dinners once a month or once a week. They have dinners. And that's good. There's nothing wrong with dinners. But friends, we just sit there in fellowship. We don't worry about people going to hell. We don't worry about the poor and the needy. We don't worry about the homeless. And believe me, beloved, we have the homeless in Denver, Colorado, as well as every city in the United States. We have homeless men and women. Can you imagine being out at 2 below 0, out there with a sleeping bag? They crawl into a crate or an old box or to get in a dumpster to keep from freezing to death. Many of them being murdered and killed. You see, when they're out there laying on the street, they don't know some crazy guy's going to come up and stick a knife in them and take their shoes. Oh, but friends, we can speak. It's up to us. These early Christians laid everything they had on the altar. To some it meant financial loss, and to some it even meant prison. And to some this meant martyrdom. Oh, friends, many people have been stoned to death because they believed in Jesus and they told the world about it. Oh, yes, they did. And they stoned them, but they took their rightful stand. And oh, listen, in the early days, they turned the Christians loose in the den of lions, and they'd eat them up. Oh, friends, I wonder, do you really have that kind of love today in your heart for people? Is your church really, really winning people and inviting people to come to Christ? Or are you just a social club? You know, when I first got saved when I was 30 years old, we had church on Sunday morning. We had church on Sunday night. We had prayer meeting. And at this prayer meeting, we learned about the Bible. It just wasn't one person saying, thank you, Jesus, thank you for this day, and go on for the next. We prayed about things, our needs of our communities. Oh, our churches could do a whole lot more for the homeless. I know one denomination right in this city that could put up, I would say, 150 men or women. They've got the facilities. Oh, but they don't care. They don't care. And so these men and women, they sleep on the streets. Go with me sometime down to the Denver Rescue Mission when I'm preaching down there, and look at the faces of those men and women. They're hungry. Many of them are dirty, unshaven. All the life possessions they have with them, a sleeping bag, maybe an extra pair of socks. By the way, my doctor, who's a Christian, he goes down there once a month and gives free medication to some of those men and women who can't help themselves. Now he's going down into Mexico, and he's going to give a month of, or 2 weeks of free time to healing the little Mexican poor people. Yeah, see, his Christianity is not just in his lip. He really does what he says, and he does what God calls us to do. You know, friends, if there's ever been a need for a genuine revival in the world, it's now. The example of New Testament believers could produce it. See, they really believed that there was a burning hell, and there is, beloved, there's a burning hell. And if you go out without Jesus, you'll go there. Oh, you sure will. And they're going to be weeping and gnashing of teeth. I hate to tell you that, but it's true. Where the worm dieth not, you'll suffer day and night, day and night, day and night for all eternity. Never, never to be have any relief. But now those of us who are born again and whose names are written in the Lamb Book of Life, when we die, we go right to heaven to be with Jesus for all eternity. Oh, I'm telling you, friends, if that doesn't give you a thrill, streets are paved with gold. Men fought and killed for gold on this earth, but you don't do that up there. Listen, are you willing to make that kind of a surrender of your life tonight? I mean, seriously, are you ready to say, Lord, hear my, send me. I want to be used of the Lord. And, you know, hear my daily prayer. Lord, fill me with your blessed Holy Spirit and do me with power of my eye. Lord, help me be a soul winner for Jesus. And, you know, nobody is a soul winner. Jesus does the Holy Spirit does the drawing. Jesus does the saving. And I just wonder tonight, you say, well, Cecil, I guess you're talking to the wrong guy or the wrong gal, because I'm not even Christian, but I'd like to be. I sure don't want to go to hell when I die. And I know that I'm not right. I know that I'm a sinner. And I know I'm sorry for what I've done. What do I have to do to get into heaven? Well, listen to me very carefully. This is a sinner's prayer that I prayed a long time ago that sobered me up and changed my life and wrote my name in the Lamb Book of Life. If you'd like to pray that prayer tonight, and please don't pray if you don't mean it, here's how the prayer goes. Dear precious Heavenly Father, I realize that I'm a lost sinner. I realize I cannot save myself. And the best way I know how, Lord, I'm opening my heart and receiving you as my personal Lord and Savior in Jesus' name. Amen. Beloved, if you prayed that prayer, get on the phone and call 303-471-8534. That's 303-471-8534. Friend, I will not use your name on the air. I'll not embarrass you. I'll not sit down and write and ask you for any money. Friends, I'm only concerned where you spend eternity. I don't care where you go to church. Now, what's wrong with that? This may be the very last time God's Holy Spirit will ever tug at your heart tonight. I'm serious. Take this broadcast very, very serious. And if you want to talk to me, just get on the phone and call me. 303-471-8534. I'm waiting for your call. That was Joanne Burns. She used to, her and her husband used to travel with me and my wife when I was in evangelism in California and Texas and up in Montana and other parts. Listen, friends, you know, I've said this a million times, and I really mean it. I really hate to ask for people to help us with our finances so we can preach. I honestly really do. Back years ago when I was in business, I developed or produced a film, and it's called Against All Hope. This film is an hour and a half long, and it's in Technicolor, of course. And if you have a drinking friend, a drinking alcoholic or whatever, who's having a problem, you should purchase this film. And you can get it for $10 and $1 and $2 for postage. You can get that film. And I will guarantee you hundreds of men and women have given their heart to Christ after seeing this film. I also have a book that I wrote called Hey James, One More Story. That's, you can have that book for $10. That's all about people that we've had the privilege of introducing to Christ over the years. They're very exciting stories. They're short stories. You can read this probably in the evening. And then they wrote a book about my life called Go Mo Go, written by Dr. Douglas White, who's in glory tonight. Anyway, I want you, if you'd like to buy that book, you can get that for $10. It's a very powerful book. It shows you what God can do, not what man does, but what God does. And I've got some brand new Bibles now. They cost $89 in the bookstore. Some are even more, and large print index Bibles, and you can get them from me for $50 and $2 for postage. So, you know, that way you can help us, and yet we can help you. So anyway, do what you can, and we have a lot of, you know, our radio time is very expensive, and our prison ministries traveling like we have to do is very expensive. So why don't you pray about it, first of all, and ask the Lord. Now, does Cecil tell the truth? Did they have a need to take care of this? And I know what he'll tell you. And then we'll pray for you. Now listen, I don't charge people to pray for you. If you have a prayer request and you want to call me, I'll pray for you, or if you want to write to me, but it doesn't cost you a dime. Some ministries, everything you got to do is pay for it, but this is not one of them, because I'm too old for that nonsense. Anyway, do what you can, and our mailing address is Mo Evangelistic Association, 9621 South Burberry Lane, Highlands Ranch, Colorado 80129, and everything that you do would be appreciated, believe you me. So I'll be waiting for your letter. Father in heaven, we thank you from the depths of our heart for this broadcast, and I thank all these wonderful, wonderful people, Lord, that sent money in for the Christmas baskets and for the broadcast and for our prison ministries, and those who prayed. Lord, how important it is that people pray for us. We don't minimize prayer at all. No, Lord, I just pray that you'll bless my wife and them for working so hard to get them out. They work their fingers to the bone to get these things purchased and sent out, and I appreciate them. And Lord, I'm sorry I can't do those things anymore. I'm really sorry, but, you know, you made me, and you know me, and you know my heart, and you know the desires of my heart is to tell people about Christ and win souls to Jesus. Lord, bless my Ray listening family, and I pray, Father, that this coming year will be a real good year for soul winning, for prison ministries, and I pray, Lord, that you'll take care of our financial and spiritual and physical needs. I pray, Lord, this operation will be a huge success, so I'll be able to see again out of my left eye. I just thank you for the doctor that you gave me, and I pray you'll bless his hands as he operates. Thank you, Lord, for all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Friends, I do want you to know that we plan on, Lord willing, keep on with the broadcast. And I hope and pray that the broadcast touches your life. I really do. And I don't want to be I don't want to do that. I don't want to be broadcasting if it's not helping people and not winning souls. I sure don't want to do that. So you pray for our health and pray for my wife that God will help her sell real estate, because, you know, that's the way her and I heat. You know that? We have Social Security, and I thank God for that. Looks to me like we're not going to have much longer. At least they're going to cut down the benefits and stuff. Well, friend, until this time next Sunday night, I want you to be good to your neighbor. Stay sweet. Keep looking up. For this wonderful, wonderful, wonderful Jesus is coming soon. Good night, and may God bless you real, real good.